Hello, and welcome to the Tunnel 7 podcast. This show is for clients, potential clients, and really anyone who is interested in making better decisions about their website. My name is Derek Allard, and I am a freelance website designer based in lovely East Hampton, Massachusetts. In each episode, I cover exactly one topic related to website design and explore it to provide insight, direction, and hopefully even some entertainment to my listening audience. I also have the soon-to-be-famous Tunnel 7 Q&A, where I answer your questions. If you would like to send a question to be answered on the show, you can do so anytime at tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. Okay, so we've made it to episode 2, which is fantastic. The last episode we covered web standards, why web standards are important. And with these opening episodes, I'm putting together this series of really how we go about building a website. So it gives you some insight into all the different steps that we cover. And today on the show, for episode 2, we are going to cover the topic of information architecture, what it is, why it's important, what it does, and why it ultimately produces a really good website. So that will be the main topic for today. We also have 3 questions that have been sent in by listeners to the show and visitors to the website. Thank you very much. Actually, one of them was really, really interesting. I actually had to do some homework to get a good answer for the person because I knew about it. It was about domain names and what's happening with domain names right now, particularly going into next year. So it's an interesting topic, and we'll be covering that shortly, so do stay tuned. All right, so it's been about 1 month. The show is on a monthly basis currently, and I think I'm going to keep it there for a while. It gives me plenty of time to put together the episode, record it, etc., etc. It's a lot of fun, actually. But in the last month, what's been going on here at Tunnel 7, I thought we would just cover that briefly. First, there's 2 new projects that I released out onto the internet, so definitely check those out. You can find them at my portfolio page, tunnel7.com/portfolio. I've also been doing more consulting work with clients, and that's been actually very rewarding. For one client, they did all these Photoshop comps, which are great. They look great, and they knew they wanted to build the website with standards, a standards-based site. But they didn't really have the knowledge in-house to pull it off. So they brought me in. I defined all the structure of the XHTML, CSS, and I'm still working with them to get the site completed. But it's been a really great process. And there's been 2 other projects where people have come to me and I've rebuilt their website from scratch, keeping the same look and feel, but just rewiring the code behind the scenes to make it standards compliant. For both those clients, the primary concern was search engine optimization, but also maintenance of the website is becoming very clumsy. So separating the design and the content with a standards-based website made a lot of sense to them. And so it's great to see people kind of coming around and, you know, recognizing why standards are important. And that's great. So that's what I've been up to. There's also been, I publish on the blog every week a new article, and there's a couple really interesting ones that you might want to go check out right now. Actually, wait till after the show. Don't check them out right now because that would require you to shut this off unless you're listening on an iPod or something like that. Anyway, I digress. The 2 topics, one was how to avoid the pitfalls of HTML email. This is something that comes up a lot when I'm working with clients and they want to do some more marketing things. Unfortunately, it's a very muddy water that you tread in with HTML emails, and the article goes into that and what you can do to improve your chances of it getting to the recipient in reasonable shape. There's also a post that I had from last month titled 7 Things for a Successful Website Project, which is great for you who are just kind of coming into just getting a project started, kind of at a more of an overview level about what I think are 7 important things to consider to make your project a success. And lastly, in the last month, I've been getting much more into social media, sites like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Now, I've had accounts with all of them for quite some time, but I never really did much with them. So in the past month, I've been tinkering with it, making posts regularly, doing things like that. And it's been interesting. You know, I'm sure I'll have more to say about it in an upcoming episode or blog post. But that's a direction that I've been going more in the last month, and it's been fun. So more to come on that front. All right, so let's get into the Q&A. Okay, so as I mentioned, we have three questions that were sent in by listeners to the show, and they're actually very good questions. So let's just dive right in. The first one comes from Jonathan in Cambridge in the United Kingdom. He writes, I am currently building websites using XHTML and CSS. What open source content management systems do you recommend? I am also looking to send and retrieve data to a database. Do you recommend any tutorials? Well, Jonathan, that's a very good question, and kudos to you for building a website with XHTML and CSS. That's definitely the route, the standards-based route, which is going to serve you well in anything that you do. As far as content management systems, there are many, 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 many of them, and they all essentially try to do the same thing. It's just how they do it. The content management system I would steer you towards is called Expression Engine. Now, Expression Engine isn't completely open source. There is a free version that you can download, install. For somebody who's building with XHTML and CSS, I have found Expression Engine to be very flexible, very reliable. I actually use it on my own website at tunnel7.com. What I like about it is it lets you start with a clean slate. A lot of these systems, what you end up with is a system where there's kind of predefined framework, and that framework oftentimes is old table-based code, and you're kind of hacking around to get your website to look like what you want it to. Expression Engine actually lets you start with a complete blank slate. You can put any design on it, and it separates the content, separates the design. It's a very nice system, very flexible. There's a lot of different modules. So definitely I would have you check that out. The other content management system that you may want to look at that is truly open source is called ModX. I believe their website is modxcms.com. And that is truly open source, and it works much the same or a similar way to Expression Engine. So check both of those out. And as for tutorials, well, I think for sending and retrieving data information to a database, your content management system is going to do that for you in many regards. A great tutorial, Expression Engine tutorial, can be found at boyink.com, boyink.com. And if you just search there for Expression Engine, he actually has a whole series of tutorials covering how to build a site with Expression Engine. So get going on that. I hope that was helpful. Next question. How can my dog grooming business be number one in Google when users search for dog grooming? And this comes from Kelly in East Hampton, Massachusetts, right here in town. Well, Kelly, there is no easy answer to how do I show up number one for dog grooming if somebody types that in Google. What the methodology is that I would use, let's take a look at your competition. What are they doing? Why are they above you? I'm assuming they are above you or else you wouldn't ask. Analyze a little bit why they are number one. And let's pay particular attention to where they put the term dog grooming in their website. Is it on headers of each page? Is it on the title of each page or some pages? Those are things, areas that search engine will pay a little closer attention to. Now, what it may come down to, after doing this homework, you'll have to revise your website somewhat to give the search engine the content. Search engines are great now about just reading the content of your website. A lot of times people don't make that connection real easily. What you don't realize is you want your content to do that for you. So a lot of times it has to do with modifying your content, revising it, rewriting it, copy editing it, putting in more of those keyword terms that you want to be showing up for. And if all of that fails and you want just a quick fix, you can certainly pay Google using the AdWords program, and there's a number of pay-per-click advertising systems out there. AdWords is the biggest one, reaches the highest number of people, but you can pay-per-click, and that would certainly get you up. If you want to pay enough, they'll give you a number one spot in the paid ads. And you'll notice those are the ones on the right side in the top. on the Google search. So those are my thoughts on that question. Thank you very much for the question. And now the third question comes from Carol in Chicago. What's this I'm hearing about domain names changing? Should I be concerned? Now, this is a great question. I've read about ICANN and the domain name management and how they're looking to change it over time. But I wasn't aware of kind of how far along in the process they were. So what Carol's actually referring to is that they're changing the suffixes of domain names. And they're looking to do this in the second quarter of 2009. ICANN, which stands for, I think it's the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, they're the people that oversee all domain names. So tunnel7.com, cnn.com, all of these websites, they are the ones kind of responsible for domain names. What they have proposed is interesting because all the time now you're running into problems where you can't get a good domain name. You know, say you're running the dog grooming business and you want doggrooming.com. Obviously that's going to be taken. Now you can probably get doggrooming.tv or some minor top-level domain, and the .com, .net, those are top-level domains. What ICANN has done is put a proposal forth that says basically you can have any top-level domain that you want, up to 64 characters, and have at it. So in other words, next year you'll be able to go and register tunnel7.tunnel7, and that will get right to the website. Obviously, that's a poor example because that's a little redundant, but I could register web.tunnel7 and then podcast.tunnel7. So it definitely opens the door here to a lot of domain names becoming available. Now, what does this mean? What is it? Should you be concerned? Well, I know that from the research that I did, a lot of companies are concerned about what's called domain squatting, where somebody buys a domain name only to sell it back to you for $1 million. This happened a lot when the internet first went live. And that may happen again. So companies are starting to look at registering their own top-level domains. CNN may want to register cnn.cnn and register their own top-level domains more to protect them than anything else. Because right now, everyone knows .com. They're not going to go to .cnn. Most people aren't even going to be aware that that's an option next year when this is supposed to go live. So as a precaution, you may want to go and forward thinking a little, so when next year second quarter runs around, just go ahead and register, you know, .tunnel7.cnn. Register your business name. Keep that top level domain in house, and that that will help. As for how effective will it be, I think it has a lot of potential. It definitely opens up the room for a whole lot of new domain names, which is always a struggle for any website designer. So very interesting article, very good question. Thank you very much, Carol. I hope that answers your question. And that does it for this week's Q&A. Thank you very much to Jonathan in Cambridge in the United Kingdom, to Kelly here in East Hampton, and to Carol in Chicago. And now on to our feature. Today's feature, we are going to cover the topic of information architecture. Now, there are certain buzzwords that once coined take on a life of their own. For me, information architecture is definitely one of them. I remember years ago when I first came across the term, I thought about it, and I said, yeah, it makes sense, but I really had no idea what it meant, and I certainly never realized how much I would come to rely on it and just how important it is to the success of any website. So let's start by trying to make a definition of information architecture. A quick search on Wikipedia gives us the following definition. Information architecture is the art of expressing a model or concept of information used in activities that require explicit details of complex systems. Okay, so that isn't the cleanest definition, but at least it gets us on the right track. This notion of expressing information in a complex system, though a bit vague, does speak directly to the role information architecture plays on a website. The website is our complex system, made up of various types of content, and the organizing of this content is the expressing information piece. This organizing will largely define the layout of our pages and navigation scheme our website uses. To put it succinctly, I would say simply that information architecture is the foundation upon which the website will be built. Now, there's definitely a correlation between information architecture and user experience. So if the information architecture is the foundation, then it is critical that this foundation can support our website and, ultimately, our website users. It is not enough to simply build a page for this content and build a page for that content and use this layout here and that layout here. Quite frankly, this is how websites used to evolve. What happened back then was that the website soon had too many pages, and these pages weren't properly organized, and the website quickly became difficult to navigate, not to mention very tricky to manage. So in such a scenario, the user experience suffered. And this is the critical component that information architecture brings to any website, enhancing the user experience. If your user can't find things on your website, well, the website and really your business or your organization is going to suffer. So today, what any website designer will do, he or she will gather all the types of content your website needs to display and organize that content even before the website is built. Now, this is a critical step. Is it tedious? Okay, yes, sometimes. But definitely it is critical. Let's look at an example of good information architecture in practice. Now, because information architecture is rather nebulous, looking at a real-world example that where it's obviously an apparent is going to help. CNN is a very content-heavy website that is updated every few minutes. Now, let's take a look at their website. Go ahead. Take a look. Bring it up. Okay. Are you there? Great. What I want you to notice is the organization. Now, the placement of every section on this website, the structure of the navigation, the design of each page, all of these are the result of a clear and well-thought-out information architecture design. So what the information architecture does is it ensures that CNN always has a place for any type of content, no matter how diverse that content is. Now, the content is now well-organized, easy to navigate, and it's laid out in a very clear and succinct manner. And all this connects back to the user experience we mentioned earlier. That experience is much better now. Okay, now most websites obviously don't have as much content as CNN, but looking at their website as an example, we can practically see the information architecture in place. So how do we lay the groundwork for a solid information architecture? All right, so now hopefully I have your attention and you've thought, okay, I have to get all the different types of content I need for the site together. Now what? How then do we ensure that we have a strong information architecture? Well, for me, the first part is sitting down together and grouping the content. And when I say content, I'm not talking about finished copy. This is far more high level at this point. Now, everyone has their own ideas about the best way to accomplish this grouping, but I have found that a good old deck of blank cards, index cards, and a Sharpie and a large table is all I need. I start by writing the title of each content piece on the website on a card. Depending on the site, we may have 20 cards, we may have 100 or more, but when we're done, and all the different types of content are accounted for, we can then start organizing the cards into logical groups. Some cards are deleted, some cards are combined, some are added. The end result of this exercise is a document defining the pages and navigation scheme for the entire website, our information architecture document. But keep in mind that you as the client will know what information your website should have, and me as your web designer will know the best practice for logically grouping this information for the purpose of the website. Now, information architecture is largely about taking these two inputs and establishing a result that will benefit, yes, you guessed it, the website visitor by enhancing his or her user experience. So it certainly is a collaborative effort. Now, why is information architecture so darn important? Strangely, I often find that folks don't find this part of a project to be all that important. Some have actually asked if I could simply skip it and just build the website. But if content is the most important piece of any website, it follows then that finding this content and presenting this content in a clear way is critical. This is why information architecture is so darn important. If your navigation and page layouts are confusing, your website is doomed. If your navigation and page layouts are logical and well presented, well, your website is much more likely to be a glowing success. It sounds simple, but without working through the information architecture exercises, we would never have arrived at our glowing success of a website. So in conclusion, I often use the analogy of building a house when talking about building a website. Any house in any website needs a solid foundation. For a website, information architecture provides this foundation. Everything that comes after the step, defining page layouts, navigation schemes, placement of design elements, programming interactions, all are founded on the information architecture. With a solid information architecture in place, your website is on its way to delivering visitors an excellent user experience where they will be able to easily navigate and quickly find the content they seek, and that content will be presented to them in a well-designed layout. They'll be happy, and that will make you happy as well. So that's it. That's our feature for today on information architecture. I hope you enjoyed it, and that does bring to conclusion episode 2. I hope you enjoyed the show and are a little more knowledgeable than you were when we started. On the next episode, we will be talking about a topic that everyone is interested about, and that is the design, the look and feel of the website. Okay, as always, the Tunnel 7 podcast is sponsored by absolutely nobody, but should you feel the desire to send cash, I have no problem mentioning you here. This episode and every episode is recorded in the Tunnel 7 studio with an Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone and the Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer using the lovely free functional Audacity software. The song Sun Is Out by The Wig Report is used for both the intro and outro music. For more about The Wig Report, go to myspace.com/TheWigReport, and there are two G's in wig. For more about me or Tunnel 7, or if you have a question you would like answered on the show, you can visit tunnel7.com at any time, day or night, weekday or weekend, because, after all, that is the beauty of the internet. Thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy!